had a very interesting experience when I was in the defense industry, in the aerospace industry. And I came into my office one morning. I received an invitation to attend a presentation to Pentagon brass and some high-ranking officials of a project that we were working on, defense project at that time, that was called Star Wars and the Star Wars technology. I'm still not certain why I received that invitation. There was one given per office, and in my office, it happened to fall on my desk, and I believe there are no accidents in life. I accepted that invitation, and I went, and I enjoyed the presentation the officials gave to us. And following, there was a little socializing and time for questions and answers. One of the officials from the Pentagon answered a question that someone asked with unusual honesty and candor, and it's that question and answer, I think, that bring relevance to this mirror that we're discussing today. What was happening was that one of the corporate heads asked the Pentagon official a very personal question. He said, "Sir, what did it take for you to rise through the civilian and the military ranks, all the bureaucracy, into a position of power and authority where you find yourself today? What did you have to do to get where you are?" The gentleman answered, and he was very clear about his answer. He didn't have to think about it long. And I'm going to share with you his answer to the best of my recollection. He said, "To get where I am today, I had to give myself away to the journey." He said, "Each time I advanced in rank, I lost another piece of my life, time after time." He said, "One day I realized that I was on top, and I looked back at my life, and what I discovered was that I'd given so much of myself away that there simply wasn't much left. The corporations and the military owned me. I'd lost my wife by that time. I'd lost my children. I'd lost connection with most of my friends, my family, and even some of my health. I'd traded all of those things for power, wealth, and control." There was a silence following his answer, and someone else in the room asked the second question. They asked him if it was worth the price, and he answered by saying he'd do it again tomorrow. I was absolutely amazed at his honesty. At least this gentleman knew that to get where he was, he had given so much of himself away, and he knew that it was intentional. How many of us have this happen in our lives without even knowing it? When you encounter someone and that feeling of familiarity comes over you, I'm going to invite you to immerse yourself in the experience. It happens to all of us to some degree at some time. When this happens to you, something very powerful is happening for you both. And it's happening in that very moment. It's not something that you can analyze after the fact. It's something that you can analyze the instant that it happens. Because you have just encountered someone who embodies something that you have been searching for a long time. And that's what that feeling, that magnetic attraction, that feeling of familiarity is all about. So when you find someone, when you encounter them and have this experience, if you feel it's appropriate, engage them in the conversation. Anything. Ask them the time. Ask them for directions to a place that you're heading. And while you are in conversation with them and maintaining the eye contact to yourself, ask this question in your mind. Ask the question, what do I see in this person that I've lost, that I've given away, or had taken away from me in my life? And immediately, when you ask that question, the response will come as a sensation, as a voice, as an image. Everyone works a little differently. Don't be surprised if the answer appears before you even have the question complete. What do I see in this person that I've lost, given away, or had taken away from me? It can be as simple as their beauty, their innocence, the grace with which they move through life. Or it may be something more subtle, such as their confidence in themselves, something that you long for in yourself. Often, just acknowledging what you've lost is all that it takes for the charge to go away, and you'll find that you're not drawn to that person any longer. When it does, it can disappear as mysteriously as it appeared. Sometimes this can happen in minutes. Sometimes it can happen to couples who have shared their lives for 40 years. When the charge goes away that draws us together, many people believe they've fallen in or out of love. When, in fact, in reality, what has happened is that they have mirrored within one another so completely the qualities that make them complete unto themselves that they have become better people and completed themselves. They no longer find themselves magnetically drawn to one another, and the choice to stay in the relationship rather than being compelled by a mysterious force, is simply the honoring of the history that they share together. So the first three mirrors that I've described, they are similar in nature, reasonably obvious, and logically fall into categories by themselves that we can call direct mirrors. These are the mirrors of who we are in the moment, the mirrors of the things that we judge in the moment, and the mirrors of the things that we've lost, given away, or had taken away by those who have power over us. The next mirrors are somewhat less obvious, and in their subtlety, they touch the very core of our beliefs about one another, our beliefs about ourselves, and ultimately our relationship to a higher power. Sometimes the events of life seem to push us to the very edge of who we believe we are. Sometimes we feel as though life has pushed us right over that edge. Many people describe this as a feeling of being tested, as though life is testing something within them. Well, while that certainly may be possible, I'd like to offer another perspective. We live in a world where we've been conditioned to believe that our achievements in life may be measured, and in those measurements, we're either successful or we fail. The belief that life tests us falls right in line with that either-or kind of thinking and allows us to succeed and fail many, many times in our lives. What if the challenges of life are not tests at all? What if our greatest challenges are simply opportunities to demonstrate our mastery of a particular skill or relationship? In an opportunity, it is impossible to fail, or to succeed for that matter. In an opportunity, all that we can do is to meet our challenge and to become the best people that we can be in the presence of that challenge. To meet our challenge while honoring our personal principles of integrity and trust and in those around us. So an opportunity from this perspective feels very different. To me, it feels very different from a test that we can pass or fail. In this next mirror, it's a mirror that shows us our greatest levels of personal mastery by presenting us with our deepest experience of personal fear. When we find ourselves in such a fear, the ancients called our experience the dark night of the soul. And this mirror is a mirror that helps us to understand the mystery of our fourth mirror of relationship, the dark night of the soul, and how it plays out in our lives. Once again, referencing from the Lost Gospel of Thomas in the Nag Hammadi Library, we're reminded, and this is a quote, that all are born and must walk in the two spirits that the One has created in humankind, the spirit of light and the spirit of darkness. A second part of this quote goes on to say that if you bring forth that which you have within you, it will save you. If, however, you do not bring forth that which you have within you, it can destroy you. And this is a reference to the power that lives within us, the power that must be expressed in some way in our lives. If we reach into the deepest access of who we are and what we have available to us as people, it will carry us through what we see as the darkest experiences of our lives. And if we choose to retreat from that and we shy from finding those portions of ourselves, many people have found in very direct ways that it destroys us. It destroys our trust and our ability to move forward in the process of life. This parable suggests that we each harbor within us a power, a force, if you will, that seeks to be shared and expressed. That's a power that cannot be denied. To allow this force to be expressed is a life-affirming experience. And to stifle this power and deny its expression can be life-denying. So what is this mysterious power? How does it show up in our lives? Well, through the story that follows, we'll answer those questions, and in doing so, we'll lay the foundation and introduce the fourth mirror of relationship, this mirror of the dark night of our soul. I'm going to begin with a story of both a client as well as a friend who was an engineer that I worked with. We'll call him Charles, although that's not his real name. And Charles describes his experience of working very long hours in the corporate environment, became very, very good at what he was doing. He was an engineer, a software developer. He knew his craft very well. He found himself on the road showing others what it is that he had learned and developed. He found himself at trade shows, conferences all over the world. He saw his family very little during this period of time. And what he began to find was that he actually knew the people that he worked with and the people that he traveled with better than he knew his own family. He spent long travel hours. They had meals together. They talked about the events unfolding in the world around them. And it wasn't long before the inevitable happened, and he believed that he was in love with a female co-worker who was traveling the circuit, doing the conferences with him. And in this belief, he left his family, and he left his home, and his friends, and he found a way to further his career, and he was able to get a transfer in the same career to the city where this woman had lived. Everything looked like it was really good in Charles' life. Not long after that, however, something began to happen and everything began to unravel. And this is when I had my conversation with Charles. I hadn't seen him for a while. And we met and I asked him how things were going. The story that he shared was one after he had given everything away that he loved and held dear, after he had given away his family, his home, his friends, and a career to move to a city with this woman and the new love of his life, and everything seemed just right. What he found was he came home one day and the woman simply said to him, "This is not what I thought it would be," and she left him. He was devastated, absolutely devastated. He began to perform poorly in his job, and it wasn't long after that, within just a couple of weeks, that he had a pink slip and he was without a job, without family, without friends, and no relationship. And this is the point where Charles called me and he said to me, "What just happened in my life? Everything looks so good. And now it looks so bad." This is the flag. This is the red flag that comes up in our lives when everything looks like it's absolutely perfect. When we found that balance in our lives, the balance is what promises that we will have the opportunity to demonstrate our mastery in what that balance is saying. For Charles, he had just entered what the ancients called the dark night of the soul. In the dark night of the soul, we find ourselves in the position where we lose the things that we hold on to the tightest, the things that we cling to for fear of losing them. Our fear of losing them is the promise that we will find ourselves without them at some point in our lives. The distinction I'm making here, and the key to this story and this mirror, is to cherish what life has given us by appreciating those things without clinging on to them for fear of losing them. And whether we're talking about financial security or our relationships to others, our husbands, wives, children, our job security or our health, the principle is the same. I'm going to repeat this. The key is to find a way to appreciate and cherish the blessings that life has given to us without clinging onto them for fear of losing them. The flip side of the kind of loss that Charles described, and I'm sure that we've all had experiences similar to this in our lives, where we lose the things that we hold most dear. The flip side of this is that nature has a built-in safety mechanism. It's a valve, if you will, that promises we will never be given more hurt, or more pain, or more disappointment, or loss in our lives than we can deal with at any given moment in time. We know this through the words of every mother on the planet, very simply in a single sentence. We've all heard, "God will never put more on your plate than you can handle." And I believe that is what this portion of the mirror is saying to us. In the words of the prophet Khalil Gibran, in his book The Prophet, he simply said to us that no man can reveal to you that which already lies half asleep in the dawning of your knowledge. I'll invite you to think about that statement. No man can reveal to you that which already lies half asleep in the dawning of your knowledge. I believe in this statement. Khalil Gibran is speaking to us about this power in our lives. He's saying that whatever happens in our life, nobody can give us the tools to find our way through the great challenges of life because they're already there. No one can teach us something that we already know. So when we talk about nature's balance, something very interesting that I find when I'm discussing balance with live audiences, everyone says they're seeking balance in their lives. And the truth is, in absolute balance, absolutely nothing happens. In absolute balance, there is no imbalance to trigger the system and move it forward. In balance, there is no movement. It is the striving toward balance that drives us forward in life. So when we see this in mathematical equations, for example, There are mathematics that can be brilliantly, beautifully represented on the screen of a computer as powerful patterns and symbols that are the result of the mathematic equations. What we find is that when those patterns find their perfect balance, that is the signal for the pattern to begin to evolve and move on once again. And in the same way, it appears that that's what happens in our lives. When we find ourselves in what we believe is that perfect balance, when everything looks like it is just right, just where we want it, just as we have placed it, that appears to be the signal to nature that says, bring it on. Bring on the change, because the balance has signaled the opportunity for change to come into our lives once again. Many people find that when they go through a dark night of the soul, the first one is the most difficult. I know we've all experienced at some point in our lives a moment where we lost the things that we held most dear. The encouraging element of this mirror is the confidence that comes from surviving that first dark night of the soul. The confidence is immense. I know people who doubted their ability to come out of the other side of the tremendous challenge of health and the condition that may take their lives or something similar to that. And when they do, the confidence that is instilled within them is immeasurable. And I know some people who've actually said, you know, I've survived my first dark night of the soul. I'm ready for the next one. Bring them on. And they no longer fear those dark nights of the soul. So the mirror of our dark night of the soul, the mirror that shows us what we truly value in this world, the mirror that leads us to understand that the deep appreciation for what we cherish is the way to continue experiencing them in their lives. So with this mirror in mind, and the role that the three universal fears play in our lives, I'll ask you to look into your life in this very moment. Look at the things that you cherish, the things that you hold most dear, your children, for example, your family, your career, or even your health, or whatever it is, and ask yourself this question. How would you feel if at some point these things were to disappear, to move away from your life? And your answer to this question, your answer is the signpost that points to where your next dark night of the soul may come from. It's also your personal guide to how you may honor the things that you cherish and appreciate them with gratitude rather than cling to them for the fear of losing them. And in doing so, you've also honored the wisdom of this mirror without ever having to experience this mirror. So what I'm saying is it's possible to recognize the power of the dark night of the soul, to learn to appreciate what we have without clinging to the things that life has given to us, and in doing so, we never have to experience the pain and the suffering and the loss of the dark night of the soul. And in this way, even the knowledge of the mirror serves us and leads us to what is last and perhaps the most subtle mirror of all. It's the mirror of accepting ourselves. In the language of their time, the ancients suggest that we are built to participate in the language of life. They remind us that within our bodies, the stuff our world is made of, we each carry the intelligence that formed our universe and our world. It is the way that we make use of that intelligence that leads us into our next mirror. So I invite you to join me in the next segment as we explore the mirror of self-acceptance. And it is this mirror that leads us to understand that we truly are bodies of earth and cells of God.